What's up, everyone? Welcome to Dropping Dimes, your 2 cents of basketball. My name is Rodrigo. You can call me Rod. And sitting across me is my friend, my partner in pod, and co-host of this show, Rafael. How are you doing, Raf?
I'm good. Thank you, Rodrigo. And welcome, everyone, to the second episode of Dropping Dimes. I hope you guys enjoyed our first episode last week. And if you still didn't download the first episode, please go to iTunes now, download it, and listen to it, and give us your feedback as well.
Give us your 2 cents. I know. I'm killing it. We're going back to back. Episode 1 is up on iTunes. It's going to be up soon on Google Play, so just bear with us. We'll make an announcement whenever that's up. We have a very exciting show today. We're going to talk about Isaiah Thomas, the latest rumors on Kawhi Leonard, the All-Star Game of the WNBA, the Big Three, which is quickly becoming the event of the summer for basketball, the Summer League of the NBA, and we have a bit of a surprise. It's a funny topic, but we'll wait until we get there.
Surprise?
Yeah, a surprise.
Is it a surprise for me as well?
No, you know. I hope you know.
Okay.
Anyways, let's get started with Isaiah Thomas. This week, it was announced that good old IT is going to sign with the Denver Nuggets. It's a one-year deal for $2 million.
You know, I'm gonna stop you for a second.
Jesus, that was fast.
You know, we always talk about some of the people that we like to listen to, like the starters and Jalen and Jacoby and so on.
Shout out.
Jalen and Jacoby, they have this part of their show called Hit the Bricks.
Yeah.
And... or what is the other option? Hit the brakes or
keep it moving.
Yeah. So I wish we had something like that because I would definitely tell you, keep it moving.
We're basically ripping Jalen and Jacoby's section. But wait, no. What do you want me to keep it moving?
Well, because this guy, is he still worth talking about? Is it still really relevant?
Wow, I'm actually shocked right now. I'm actually rooting for him.
No, I hope he does well. I'm not hating on anyone, but...
You are hating. You don't even want to talk about him.
Well, because, I mean...
I think it's news, because this guy is the ultimate inspirational story. I'm sure there are kids out there that sort of know what he's been going through, and at least as an adult, I can relate to some of the things, and that guy is a true professional. So, let's recap. Let's go back in time.
Okay.
All right? Drafted 60th, right?
Mm-hmm.
The very last spot, the very last secured quote-unquote contract on the NBA goes to him.
Okay.
He goes to the Kings. That's already enough punishment.
No, that's not
That's already enough
true.
Punishment, yes.
The Kings were a very good team a while ago.
No,
in the 90s.
They're getting better now.
Yeah.
But he was not drafted by, you know, the Mike Bibby, Vlade Divac, and Chris Webber Kings. He was drafted by the... I don't even know... The Kings that play at the Sleepy Train Arena. Those Kings.
Yeah.
So, okay. And he gives it his best. This guy is, again, the best example for courage and professionalism. He's not the most genetically talented or gifted player out there. He's pretty short. He's slightly taller than I am. Or probably even shorter. I'm 175 centimeters.
Yeah, but he has attitude issues, and that's the problem. Everywhere he's been to, people talk about him not being a good influence in the locker room. And also...
That's not true. That is not true.
And also, it seems like...
How dare you?
It seems like he cares more about the fact that he's short than the other people around him. It seems like he got caught up in that, you know, like... narrative that he must constantly fight against everyone and that he must fight for his space and that he needs to show everyone that he's more important than the other players.
No. The guy is an absolute scorer. That's a given. And then, okay.
Are you happy that he's no longer playing with the Lakers?
I wouldn't have minded to keep him. I wouldn't have minded. He would be a good Laker. 100%.
How many minutes would he be playing with your team? If you could make that call.
With the current roster, so say Lonzo and Rondo, we already have a starting point guard and a backup point guard. I don't know who's going to be the starting, who's going to be in the bench, but we already have two point guards. So he could be a good mentor for Alonso.
And you think LeBron would like to have him as a teammate again?
See, that's another... I'll get there. Just give me a minute, okay?
Okay.
So we're still on the Kings, okay?
Okay.
That's enough punishment.
Okay.
Then he gets traded to the Suns, right? He was playing with Eric Bledsoe, so that was something. At one point, there was that basically three-point guard rotation with the Suns. It worked out. Then he gets shipped to the Celtics, where we get Mr. Fourth Quarter, right? This is the Isaiah Thomas that absolutely dominated during the ball games. And this is the same Isaiah Thomas that during the playoffs, he lost his sister. A tragic accident. And he could have taken that time off. He deserved it. We all remember, at least I do, footage of him crying in the bench before the game. Charles Barkley, who I'm absolutely 100% sure he's listening to this podcast right now, criticized him and said that no one should see a grown man crying. I completely disagree because he was going through a very rough time. And he played his heart out in Boston. That's also a fact. And then he goes out injured with that nasty hip injury that he's been dealing with for ever since, basically. And then he gets traded to the Cavs. I mean, that was a business decision by the Celtics. I respect that. But it's a bit of a sign that...
Look, I think that the fact that he played after losing his sister and so on, I think that's very... Like, it's a good point. Not relevant to what I'm saying, though. However, what I don't like is the fact that he decided to play through an injury. And then after that, he was never the same player. And we have more examples of that. Like, he was a great player with Boston, and that's the only place where he was relevant. All the other places that he played for, he was not even someone that we were talking about during the season.
I think in Phoenix, he was trying to get there. He was trying to get there. In Boston, it's so far what it's been prime, Isaiah Thomas. Then, let's keep it moving in this instance.
Yeah.
Then he goes to the Cavs. Obviously, he's not playing. Before he came back from the injury, or when the trade was announced, LeBron said, "Welcome, brother. Excited to play with you, yada, yada." And then that's when we started hearing that maybe he was not so happy with the Cavs. Yeah.
But
right?
I didn't like his comments, though. Like, when that was happening, when they were talking about each other, LeBron was talking about IT and IT was talking about LeBron. I mean, that was not handled well, for sure. They could have handled better.
Yeah, and I think the fact that Derrick Rose was in the team also created more stress on that position. Like, you've only got Derrick Rose running the point and Isaiah Thomas out injured. I mean, it's not the greatest backcourt that you want to have. Two guys that are injured, and one of them, Derrick Rose, got injured again.
And then Calderon was there as well, right, during that time?
I believe so, yes.
Was he an assistant coach or active player?
No, he was
just
probably...
Just checking.
He was probably selling ham on the bench.
Okay.
Did you know that he's got his own ham company?
Jamón Serrano?
Jamón Serrano, yeah. I don't know what's it called, but apparently he's one of the wealthiest players in the NBA outside of what he makes from basketball. Anyways, fun fact for you guys. And then again, you know, stuff happens. He gets shipped to the Lakers for the All-Star break onwards. He had a couple of good games. I wouldn't say he was super consistent. And then he was shut down. I'm pretty sure that he knew he was not going to stay. I think, at least from the Lakers side, from what I know and I have read, the Lakers also didn't want to hold on to him because, you know, they have Lonzo and they had other plans for him. And that came in the form of Rondo.
Yeah.
And now he goes to Denver for 1 year, $2 million. It's nothing. I mean, it's a good bargain.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be relevant, to be honest. And I think that my ultimate message to players out there, and of course, I don't know as much about being a professional athlete as you guys do, because you are professional athletes. I'm not. But I feel
you're
like...
You're not?
I'm not.
So all the buckets that I saw earlier today when we went out and played pickup basketball, that didn't come from a professional athlete?
No.
Oh, no. Very disappointed
right now.
Semi-professional. Yes.
But anyways, my message is...
Good thing you're humble.
Be careful when you play through injury, because you're basically putting your whole career on the line. And franchise owners, they're not going to feel bad for you. You play through injury and you're not the same, they're going to trade you. And then the next team's going to trade you. And then, you know, within 1 year or two seasons, you're going to be making $2 million per year instead of 15 or 50 that you could be making. Because IT, he was supposed to be given a max contract. And now he's making $2 million.
I mean,
it's, which is a lot of money for us, but for him, it's not that much.
It's easy to say from our side, I believe, because, you know, if we all go out and play anywhere and you roll your ankle, you sub yourself out, right? You don't play for a couple of weeks. You give your body time to heal. But our impact in the game doesn't really matter. These guys are...
My teams normally win when I get hurt. Jesus. What does that say about me?
Oh, well, actually, that's for another podcast. Our team record from 10 years playing together. Anyways, I don't want to go there. It's going to be sad.
Podcast.
Yeah. I think what I was sad is that these guys are uber competitive. That's a fact, right? These guys go out there every night and give their all. And then you have guys like Isaiah Thomas that, you know, throughout this very hard circumstance in his life, losing his sister and his hip injury, he decided to play and he was actually killing it. He was doing fantastic. And unfortunately, the Celtics decided to go in another direction. Again, that's a business decision. There's nothing that can be said about it other than the Celtics did what they thought was better for the franchise. Unfortunately, that for Isaiah Thomas. I mean, at that moment, it looked like a good trade. At that moment, because the Celtics were getting Kyrie Irving, and the Isaiah Thomas that we'd seen so far was going to the Cavs and would be a good complement to LeBron James at that time. But here we are now. Isaiah Thomas is going to play with the Nuggets, paired with Michael Porter Jr.
I wish him all the best, but I think we need to keep it moving.
Fair enough. All the best for IT. I'm rooting for you, man. And I'm sure you're listening to this, so go get him. Let's move on to... I think this should be a segment, like, where's Waldo? Like, where's Kawhi? Where the hell is going Kawhi?
See, that's an example of a player that decided not to play through injury. Although we are not sure if he's still injured or not. We don't know what's going on. Nobody knows what's going on. Maybe he's not playing just because he doesn't want to play for the Spurs anymore. Or maybe he's been ready to return for a long time and he's been, you know, avoiding basketball because he wants to get traded. Who knows? Nobody knows what's happening.
So, latest rumors have the Toronto Raptors as the favorite team to get Kawhi now. How do you feel about that? Kawhi as a Raptor, paired up with Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan.
Would they be able to keep Lowry and DeMar DeRozan if they
let's assume that they can. You know, they would have to trade basically half of the team, the Raptor, the actual Raptor, Vince Carter's memories of the dunk contest, and whatever's left of Tracy McGrady's back in Toronto for Kawhi Leonard.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of assets to give away.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if it happens, I think it would be a very, very good fit. I would try to, you know, include at least one of these two players in the trade, you know, and send them to San Antonio.
Wait, when you're saying those two players, you mean DeMar and Kyle?
Yeah, at least one of them. So Kyle would be my choice. I would send Kyle to the Spurs, okay, if the Spurs wanna take him. And I would take Kawhi. But, I mean, the only reason I'm saying that is because I think it's clearly not working. There's something missing there.
Yeah.
And they need to break that backcourt. The same thing can be said about John Wall and Bradley Beal in Washington.
I would be super excited to see Kawhi as a Raptor. I think he would be that missing piece that they've been lacking for the past couple of years. And very much like DeMar, Kawhi is a very reserved person, or so it seems. So it's not like he's going to attract negative attention. Quite the opposite. I think the Raptors would actually be the top team in the East. I don't know whether that's going to happen. I mean, it's been established that Greg Popovich and the Spurs don't want to trade Kawhi to any other LA teams or any team in the Western Conference, which I think it's a very stupid argument if you ask me, but you know, that's their decision.
Well, when you guys traded Shaq, you didn't send him to any of the West teams, right?
But that trade wasn't made based on the location. It was, you know, what was best available. And honestly, at that point, I think I'm safe to say that the Lakers wanted to get rid of Shaq and keep Kobe. In this sense, I think, you know, if I were the Spurs, I think they already lost a bunch of really good deals. That moment when before LeBron confirmed that he wanted to go to the Lakers, there was that pressure that everyone in the media and even other teams were saying LeBron won't go to LA unless the Lakers bring another superstar. Mm-hmm. And then Paul George said he wants to stay in Oklahoma. Screw you, Paul George. I'm going to keep saying that. So the pressure was on the Lakers, right? And apparently they threw Ingram and Kuzma and half of Staples Center, the Clippers, and everything in one package. And the Spurs said no. Mm-hmm. Then LeBron signed, so there's no rush now. We already have our guy, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see where he's going to be playing next season. And first, we need to know if he's going to be playing next season because, I mean, with Kawhi, we don't know really what's going to happen. But
you know what I wish? I wish that anyone... I listen to many, many podcasts, some of which you have mentioned already. And what I find fascinating is that no one really knows what's going in his mind. No one knows at any given point where the hell he is, which I find fascinating because we were talking the other day about how much do reporters and obviously players that became part of the media have sources, connections, a cousin's cousin that went to the same high school as any NBA player. And none of these guys seem to really know what's going on with Kawhi. In this age of social media and everything can be shared and information is easily leaked/shared, I find it really interesting that Kawhi is able to be so secretive and to not share what he's going through or what are his thoughts.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, it's another case of time will tell, and I'm curious to see where he's going to be playing. If it's Toronto, that's amazing for Toronto to have a guy like Kawhi playing there. If they make it to the finals next year with Kawhi, if they get Kawhi, they're gonna say that they got to the finals because of Kawhi, because he was the missing piece. But the truth is that they're gonna get to the finals because LeBron is no longer in their conference.
LeBronto no longer, actually.
So I think it doesn't matter if they get Kawhi or not. If they keep their core, there's a high chance, very high chance, that they will make to the finals just because LeBron is not there.
If Toronto gets Kawhi, I want to see the Raptors logo redesigned. Obviously not in an official way, but instead of the basketball with a slash, like as if the Raptor was clawed the basketball, I want to see Kawhi's hand with the basketball in the middle. Mm. That's the new claw. That's the new Raptors claw, Kawhi's hand.
Well,
that's a design decision. But anyways, I would love to see that.
Talk to the Toronto Raptors.
If that happens, and anyone out there, any designers or artists listening to this podcast that like basketball, if you want to design that shirt or that print,
and send it to us as a gift,
or we can also purchase it from your website. We're always happy to support other talent. Mm. Just let us know. Hit us up on social media.
I would prefer to get it as a gift, but. If we really have to buy it, then yes.
Oh, God. This is how we're going to lose all of our listeners. okay, last question on Kawhi. If you had a magic wand and powers to send Kawhi somewhere, where would you like to see him?
That's a tough question. Thinking about what would be more entertaining for the league, that's how you want me to analyze that?
I don't know. It's up to you. If you want to send him to the Blazers, be my guest.
I mean, I would love to have him playing with the Blazers, depending on what we have to give up in order to have him with us. But I think that would be entertaining to see him playing with like a very good Eastern Conference team, or not very good, but maybe like a contender that could fight against the Boston Celtics and the Toronto Raptors and so on. So maybe, let's say,
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia could be an option. Yeah, Philadelphia could be an option.
I don't think he would be a great fit for Philadelphia, like with Joel Embiid's attitude. I mean, nothing wrong with the guy, but Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid. I mean, it seems like they already have something going on. And Kawhi is definitely not the kind of guy that goes to social media and trolls people. So, if I could, I would obviously send him to the Lakers.
No, but that's why biased.
Why not? Obviously, it's biased. I never said I was being objective.
One team, any other team.
That is not the Lakers?
Yeah, exactly. Except the Lakers, please.
So, no Lakers, no Raptors. Milwaukee. I would like to see him playing with
the Greek
Giannis
Greek.
Antetokounmpo, yeah. Like, Giannis has a wingspan that goes from Vancouver to Halifax. Ha! Canadian references. And then add on Kawhi's humongous hands. I mean, that's a team of freaks. It would be the freak team. Hashtag freak team.
Okay.
Get on it, Milwaukee. Give us a freak team.
Okay, so I think another fit could be, if we're talking about the Western Conference, then I would say Minnesota.
What?
Yes, because Minnesota, they have a decent team as it is, and they would be much better with Kawhi.
Decent?
Yeah.
They barely made the playoffs.
Well, it was their
first... We watched that game.
It was their first season with a decent team.
Jimmy Butler wants out.
It was their first season with a good coach and with Jimmy Butler.
What?
And with Karl Anthony Towns playing together.
I don't like this Timberwolves just because I think that Thibs, the coach, he's trying to get the Bulls back. Like those Bulls from early 2010s to compete. And
there's also another thing that it's been around, and you know, everyone talks about it, the fact that he's too hard with his players when it comes to practice time
and actual game time.
Yes, too many minutes, right?
Yeah.
He's giving them too many minutes, and because of that, some of the stars are getting hurt and some of the careers were ruined. For example, Derrick Rose. Maybe he only brought Derrick Rose to the Timberwolves because he feels bad about it. Joakim Noah, for example.
No, Joakim Noah,
Joakim Noah is a case of smoking too much weed and not playing enough basketball, right?
Great defender, but yeah, I think too much weed. I think he's in a happier place right now.
He's always in a happy place.
That's true. I'm honestly, you know, he did what he could do. He peaked really fast. He became that energy, great defender. And then he was like, I'm out. You know, I'm no longer interested.
Probably the only professional athlete that never played in pain because he's always smoking weed, so he's always good.
Medicinal.
Yes. But anyways, another team that would be a very good fit for Kawhi and would become a instant contender would be Utah. Imagine Kawhi playing with Donovan Mitchell.
That would be interesting because you've got Rubio, who doesn't need the ball all the time, and he could easily feed Kawhi, Donovan Mitchell. Ooh, and then Kawhi and Gobert, like two defensive players of the year,
yeah,
in the same team. That would be very interesting.
The only unfortunate thing is that they would have to bench Joe Ingles. Yes, that guy. Or they would have to trade him, and he's the most important player on that team.
He's really good, actually.
Yeah.
He looks like he could have a beer at any given pub,
yes,
in any given city.
Yes.
And then be like, all right, see you guys. I have a game in like half an hour. Just show up to the arena and start shooting threes and actually sinking them.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be like Joe Ingles. Just have a beer before the game and then sink all the threes.
And other than that, I'm looking at the list of teams here, and I think that these are the teams that I would like to see him play for. Houston and Golden State, no. I don't think he would go to Oklahoma. Portland, I would love to see him play there, but I don't think he
That's
would
not
go.
Happening.
Yeah, and also I don't want to give away Lillard or CJ McCollum to have Kawhi.
Damian Lillard, hashtag future Laker.
Yeah, whatever you say. But Another options are Dallas. They might have a good team next year, and with Kawhi, they would be much better. And I think that's it, really.
Are you up for a friendly bet?
Sure.
Maybe we can come up with the terms later. Maybe on our website we can post that and on social media. But let's make a bet. I say Kawhi will end up in Toronto, actually. However, Toronto will give up most of the team. But yeah, let's make a bet.
Okay, do I have to tell you which team I think he will end up with now? Or can we post the information on our website later on?
Yeah, let's post it on the website and on social media. And I'll think about it.
I can research more about it as well. Okay. Instead of going with my guts, I can research a little bit about
That's not how bets work. You have to go with your gut. Otherwise, it's going to be... Anyways.
Well, you clearly researched about it because you researched to prepare the list of topics that we're going to talk
about. I always
prepare
the topics for the show.
I don't. So
two shows, two agendas that I prepare.
But I come prepared to talk about things.
Debatable. Anyways, we'll come up with a bet later on, and we'll post it on social media. So stay tuned for that. Let's move on to the WNBA. The All-Star Game is coming up, July 28th in Minnesota. Before we talk about the actual All-Star Game, we cast out our vote. I personally voted for Sue Bird, who is one of my favorite point guards in the entire game. She's amazing. I'm surprised that she's not compared to other players. She's always been a standalone, but I think she's transcended that barrier of gender. She should be considered as one of the greatest point guards in the history of the game. Asia Wilson from the Vegas Aces. Diana Taurasi from the Mercury, obviously, who I think is very much the Michael Jordan of the WNBA.
Nowadays? Or you mean like she's the best player ever?
I think she's the best player ever.
What about Cynthia Cooper?
It's like saying, you know, what about Kareem? What about Oscar Robertson? And so on and so on and so on.
But I think the most iconic team ever, like when you talk about legacy in the WNBA, must be the Houston Comets from the 90s, late 90s.
Yeah. Well, you could also argue the same for the Sparks.
Again, that's you being biased, but yes.
No. I actually have an affair with the Seattle Storm, just out of that it's not even a backward, but Lauren... Oh, jeez, I forgot her last name. Lauren Stewart?
I don't know.
Australian. And Sue Bird. Like, I watched a couple of games, even when I was back home in Mexico. And those ladies are amazing. I mean, they could take on anyone. And now that they have Brianna Stewart, who's serving as that... She's basically an all-star at this point. I think I also voted for her. But yeah, I support the Storm sometimes a little bit more than the Sparks. I'm sorry, Sparks, but they're a great team as well. I mean, Lisa Leslie is an absolute legend.
Yeah. Do you know how many titles the Sparks have? I'm reading here.
Lauren Jackson. I just remember Lauren Jackson. I'm so sorry. I was thinking of Brianna Stewart, Lauren Jackson, and Sue Bird.
So, Houston Comets, they, on the first four seasons, first four titles.
Okay.
And they had, this might be the original Big Three, because they had a Big Three composed of Cynthia Cooper, Cheryl Supes, and Tina Thompson. And they had a 98-24 record for one of the regular seasons. Can you imagine that? That's like 80%.
I'm just saying that, just like Jordan, there were other players that came before him and obviously helped shape the identity of the league. By the time that Jordan was in the NBA, it was a well-established league. Obviously, Jordan propelled it to a different level. And I think that Deanna Taurasi is doing that for the WNBA, along with all the other players. Obviously, she's not the only one there. There's other players like, I can think of Kelsey Plum, Lisa Leslie, you just mentioned Cynthia Cooper, Cheryl Hoops, all these players that have helped give the WNBA an identity and a place on TV and on different networks. But Deanna Taurasi is just out of this world. Absolutely insane. Same as Elena Del Don. She's fantastic. There's this Nike ad that I love with Paul George, Kobe, LeBron, and Anthony Davis. And there's a bunch of kids trying to decide who's their favorite player. And they go and visit Elena. And one of the kids is like, girls' night. And then they go and have like a late night hoop session. And anyways, it's fantastic. Go watch it. Just type in Elena Del Don Nike ad. But again, I think that she's the MJ of the... I shouldn't say that. She deserves her own place in history. So she's not the Michael Jordan. She's Deanna Taurasi is the best player of the WNBA. Mark my words. She's going to be the best player in women's basketball.
Okay. Again, WNBA, of course, is not like we follow the season as regularly as we follow the NBA.
Actually, I'm glad you brought that up, but okay, carry on.
However, it's important to mention that, you know, we always had our mind, at least, you know, we are thinking about it. We are following the records. We want to know who's doing well. And especially if there's a Latin American player there, we are, you know, giving extra love to the Latin American players.
Yeah.
It's important to mention that my home country, Brazil, we had several players in the WNBA in the past years.
Yeah.
This year, we only have one. And she's been playing, Erika, she's been playing in the WNBA for a long time. But in the past, we had several players, especially after... I'm not sure where she's playing now, but she played for a long time with the Phoenix, I think, team.
With the Mercury. With Deanna Taurasi.
Phoenix Mercury, yeah. And she actually managed to get a title there. Erika... Let's see where she's playing now. Erika de Souza, that's her name. She's playing... Can't find it. Oh, no. The one that it's still that is playing there now... is Damiris Dantas, and she's playing
for the
Atlanta Dream.
Okay.
Yeah, Erika, her last season in the WNBA was the past season. So
okay.
She's no longer in the WNBA, but she was there for like 14 years, 13 years. She had a very long career. And Damaris, she's playing for the Atlanta Dream now. But anyways, one of the most important Brazilian players or most remembered in the WNBA, it's Jeanette Arcane. She was a player with the Houston Comets.
Okay.
With Cynthia Cooper, with Cheryl Shoops and Tina Thompson.
Okay.
And she actually, I think she managed to get two rings out of the three, if I'm not mistaken. And she went to the All-Star game twice, Jeanette. And she also got the prize of most improved player in one of the seasons that she was playing with the Comets. With the
Raphael dropping knowledge here on Dropping Dimes.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That is a really cool story.
And you know, the reason why we had so many Brazilian players in the WNBA in the past and now we don't have that many, it's because now we are struggling with women's basketball in Brazil. But we have a tradition. Same with men's basketball in
right.
Brazil. We have a strong tradition. But in Atlanta, 1996, the Olympics, we got the bronze medal.
Oh, cool.
So after that, I think that's when the WNBA was actually kind of starting, if I'm not mistaken. So that's why so many Brazilian players were taken to the WNBA.
Interesting. And do you think there's ever a way that... Is there a slight chance that we could ever get in touch with...
I'm already forgetting.
Yes.
First thing would be to remember her name.
Yes,
and then
would be good.
We can start thinking about contacting her.
It would be really cool to hear it from themselves, like how they ended up there and their story. So I will leave it in your very capable hands. I'm just going to take a couple more minutes because I do want to bring up the...
Wait, before you move on, just one last thing. If you guys have time And if you like YouTube as much as I do, because I'm constantly researching videos, especially old videos, sports and other things that I like on YouTube. If you have time, go and search on YouTube for Brazil against Cuba, women's basketball final for the Pan American Games in the 80s. I don't remember exactly which year it was.
Oh, throwback.
Yeah, but they were playing in Cuba against Cuba for the final, for the gold medal. And we had Hortensia. She's like one of the best
I've heard about her.
Ever women's basketball player.
Yeah.
And Magic Paula. Magic Paula, she was the point guard. Hortensia was the shooting guard.
Okay.
And they are two legends in Brazil. They were amazing. And we basically killed the opposite team, Cuba. And when the game finished and they were giving the players the gold medals and silver medals, Fidel Castro came and started shaking everyone's hands. Oh. And you can, during the broadcast, you can hear him telling these two players that they basically killed them that day. And he was not happy at all.
Oh, man, that's really cool. Look at you, Rafael. Wow, that was actually a really cool story.
That's Thank why you brought me here, right? Like,
absolutely. Okay. For another reason, especially not because you're my roommate.
You could definitely do this project without me finding out about it, right? Especially because you're using our dinner table, so, and I live here, so.
No one needs to know easy. That. Anyways, I think the thing that I struggle the most is catching a WNBA game. Honestly, it's a bit frustrating that there's basketball out there. The Big Three, which we're going to very quickly go over it in a minute. Same with the Summer League. But the WNBA is professional basketball. And it's frustrating that I turn on the TV on TSN, which is Canadian ESPN, basically. And then I see a poker tournament or a damn spelling bee. Like, it's very frustrating. Like, I'd much rather watch a WNBA game for any of the teams. Again, I'm the kind of person that will watch, you know, a Magic versus Kings game in the middle of the season, and even if those teams suck. But these girls can totally kick ass. They're professionals. They can take on many other guys, and we still don't give them their space.
And they need to do something about it, because most of the players in the WNBA, when the season is over, they go to Europe to play for Russian teams and for teams in Lithuania and Turkey and so on, just because they need to make more money, because what they're making in the WNBA is not enough. And most of them, they're getting paid better when they go play in Europe during the off season than when they're playing in the WNBA. So we need to do something about that. And I mean, I have nothing against poker, but poker shouldn't be on TSN or any other sports channel. It's not a sport, it's a game. And then another thing that we should mention is that esports, and I know that this is going to be very controversial.
Oh, no. This is going to be very controversial. No.
Esports, they don't belong on TSN or any other sports channel.
Gosh.
It's not a sport.
No.
Please create a channel only for games and talk about games, video games. But don't steal our space to talk about sports and, you know, put esports there, because it's not a sport. You're sitting on your couch playing video games. That's not a sport.
I just want to say to everyone that was with us through this amazing ride that was called Dropping Dimes for 2 episodes, thank you. Love you guys.
Again, I am not trying to say that I don't respect you. I'm just saying that it shouldn't be on TSN. It should be somewhere else, not on TSN. You have all the right to play esports.
If,
that's okay.
If,
and there's a lot of money there as well. I know the guys are making a lot of money.
If it comes to esports versus WNBA, hell yeah. 100%, 1,000%.
No, any sport that you're actually moving would be first.
Okay, let's go back. Let's go back.
If you're only, you know, standing up from the couch to celebrate when you made a great play, that's not a sport, right?
I mean, it is a sport. We should actually talk about esports in a future episode. It's very interesting. I mean, there's a NBA 2K league now. There was a draft. Not all the teams have made their own esports team, but they will get there.
Curling is much more of a sport than esports, because you're moving your body, right? You're doing something.
Yeah, but so, I mean, esports is a different kind of sport.
Okay.
You still have to be analytical.
Maybe
and
I'm just too old for this.
Maybe.
Innovations and new things.
If anyone wants to ever play Raphael on NBA 2K, just give us your handle. We'll look you up and you can teach Raphael what it is to go against an esports athlete. All right. Let's
move on.
Do they
have six packs? Esports athletes?
The ones that they drink. Oh, I said it. let's move on to the Big Three and the Summer League. The reason why I'm pairing up those two is because I feel that, I mean, the Summer League has come a great way from its beginnings, where it used to be a bunch of different leagues across cities that have an NBA team, or cities that are close to cities that have an NBA team, to now this summer event in Las Vegas where celebrities and even the players, they go and cheer on their future teammates or current teammates. And for, I think it's $25, you have access to all the games all day. And there's a chance that, you know, like today, LeBron went to the Lakers Summer League game. And if I had a chance to sit anywhere in LeBron's proximity or in Lonzo, whoever it is, any of the NBA players, that would be really cool. Especially if you're a younger kid, your parents take you to the Summer League and you get a chance to see one of your favorite players and maybe interact with them close to the concession stand, that's really cool. Having said that, Summer League games, they don't really mean much.
I think that what I like the most about the Summer League broadcast, it's the fact that they are constantly talking about the trades and the possible trades and the free agents and the different expectations that they have for each team. I'm not really paying attention at the game. I'm paying attention at
right.
all. I'm paying attention more at all the, you know, rumors and the interviews, because sometimes they interview people during the game because they know that nobody's paying attention at the game.
Yep.
So they interview different people during the game. I think that's quite interesting. And it's definitely becoming more of more relevant. Like, people are more putting more attention, right, to it than in the past.
That's
in the past,
true.
Nobody care about the Summer League other than the players
and
the teams.
You know, the Summer League is becoming sort of the unofficial summer conference of the NBA. There's trades. There might be trades that happen there, and we don't even know about. All the players are going at some point to Las Vegas to say hi to their teammates, to their coaches. It's very interesting. And I'm looking forward to see what happens after that. I can see, you know, an actual conference even coming out of that for coaches, for media, for statisticians. Anyways, at the same time, we have the Big Three, which, if you're not familiar with it, the Big Three is this basketball league created by Ice Cube, the rapper, and it's basically 3-on-3 basketball. Now that 3-on-3 basketball is an Olympic sport, I think he completely nailed it in making a professional league for 3-on-3 basketball with retired NBA players.
But do we know if for the Olympics they're going to have an age, of course they're going to have an age limit, right,
for
the players? So the players that are playing with Big Three, they're not really going to have the chance to play anymore for the Olympics because most
correct.
Of them are retired players.
Yeah.
So I think maybe in the future he should consider coming up with another league for players that are actually within that age range. Just because you want to also see the people that are going to be playing in the Olympics.
No,
right?
But
they cannot
what?
Be professional athletes if they're playing in the Olympics.
No, they can. Yeah, they can. The Dream Team.
Yeah, but I think
the
some
US
sort
team,
of exception was made there because, for example, boxers, if they become professionals, they can no longer go to the Olympics.
But there was, I don't know the year, but before that it was like that. If you were in the NBA, you couldn't go to the Olympics, and they used to send the all-star of NCAA team
mm-hmm.
players.
Mm-hmm.
But now it is available, and obviously the Olympics makes it so that they can attract more people, more ratings, yada, yada, yada. But yeah, I mean, the Big Three, they do draft players that are younger, that are obviously, that went undrafted, that are trying to maybe make it to the NBA. It's obviously most of the teams have your fan favorite retired NBA players
mm-hmm.
and some other players that were known for their tenacity, for being really intense. But yeah, there's a couple of them. What I find very interesting is that all the retired players, there's a draft now, right? Before the beginning of the season. And this year, Craig Oden entered the draft and he was not selected. He went undrafted for the big three. So, I mean, I don't want to get stuck and talk about Craig Oden. The standings right now, we have on the big three, the three-headed monsters first place, then Tri-State, Power, Three's Company, Trilogy, Ballhawks, Killer Threes, and Ghost Ballers. You know what's the surprising thing about three-headed monsters, the number one team currently on the big three? Kwame Brown is in that team.
Oh, no. Stephanie, we want to hear about what you think about Kwame Brown. Stephanie, he really hates Kwame Brown.
You have Jamario Moon, former Raptor, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
That guy was amazing. Chris Jackson, a.k.a. Chris Jackson.
Yep.
Or Chris Jackson, a.k.a. Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
More like Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, formerly known as Chris Jackson.
Yes, exactly.
Reggie Evans and Rashard Lewis.
But Reggie Evans recently retired, right? He was playing not too long ago.
No, I think he's been retired for quite a bit. Again, intensity guy. Rashard Lewis, a lot of potential.
I think the best player on the team is Chris Jackson.
Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
Yeah. He was an amazing player.
Yeah.
And again, there's no official documentary about this guy, but there are some YouTube videos telling his story, and we recommend that you guys go and research about it. He was, arguably, he was Steph Curry before Steph Curry.
And Colin Kaepernick. A bit of a social initiative there.
Yes.
But yeah, and he also talks about his mental disorder, which is also very brave. I think, and just based on the looks of the video that we saw on YouTube, he came out to talk about his mental illness.
Yeah.
Before, obviously, DeMar DeRozan and Kevin Love opened up, which is great. I mean,
is it Tourette syndrome?
Tourette syndrome.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think it's amazing to see how
how he deals with it.
No, not only how he deals with it when he's playing, but how dedicated he was to the game, to the point that he looks like he's completely crazy when he's telling other people about his moves. And about how many times he used to practice and shoot the ball. And the fact that he wouldn't leave the court until he was satisfied with how the ball was hitting the net. He had these crazy rules that the ball could not touch the rim. And if the ball touched the rim, then it was not a good shot.
Yeah.
So all these crazy ways of analyzing his performance. And trying to bring himself up to that standard. That was almost impossible to keep.
You know? People talk about Kobe Bryant as being obsessed with that kind of thing, with his footwork, with how he shot the ball. But I think that Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf did that before Kobe, obviously. He's a former Grizzly, Vancouver Grizzly.
Only one season.
Still alumni. If Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf ever wants to come back to Vancouver, he's more than welcome. He's more than welcome to be on Dropping Dimes.
Can you imagine that?
We're opening the invitation.
Yeah.
To Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
Please. We would love to hear.
Join us. We'll go anywhere in Vancouver in the lower mainland to get an interview if you ever decide to come back.
And can you imagine that for one season, the Grizzlies had Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf and Sharif Abdul-Haim in the same team?
Yep.
Poor broadcaster guy.
And Brian Reeves.
Yeah. I mean, imagine having to, you know, constantly repeat those two names during a fast break. That's impossible. Guys, if you ever want to give us an interview, can you please make sure that you come on different dates? Because otherwise it's going to be very hard
for us. We can't handle it. We just can't handle it.
Yeah.
How about this? If they ever come, if Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf and
Sharif Abdul-Rahim.
Yes, if they both come at the same time, we have to address each other by our full names.
Okay.
So I'm sure they would have a bit of a hard time pronouncing our full names.
That's true.
So, again, open invite. I hope, you know, one day it would be a dream come true. I was a little bit ignorant of Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf's story until recently.
Good thing you have a very, very knowledgeable roommate.
Co-host. You're unbearable some days. Anyways, Big 3 still going on. Also, Big 3, come to Vancouver. Come on. Toronto gets all the love. They have the Raptors. Yeah. They have the Raptors.
Yeah.
Bring the big three. You know, the tickets would sell out. Ice Cube, you know you're listening out there. Bring us the big three. Come on.
No, and also, if you're going to California, it's very easy to come to Vancouver. It's a very, you know, quick flight. It's not that far. Come to Vancouver. I am not 100% sure that it would be sold out, though, because I am very disappointed with the Vancouver crowd. Oh. We recently went to a game. What was it? Pacific Rim Challenge.
Yeah.
So Canada China against versus, China. Yeah. And I mean, of course, it's not an NBA game, but it's Canada playing against China. One thing that I know about Vancouver, I've been living here for 11 years. If there's only one thing that I am 100% sure that I know about Vancouver, it is that there is a lot of Chinese people and a lot of Canadians. So
which is true, yeah.
I mean, you should be able to sell out this freaking arena. But why they're not able to sell out?
My theory is that, you know, as we both know, that those games that were played here in Vancouver and in Victoria, they don't mean anything. They were basically a friendly game for the FIBA World Cup qualifiers. So, I mean, the people that were there were basketball fanatics, like ourselves. It doesn't mean anything. Had it been an actual qualifier, I think there would have been a lot more promotion, a lot more marketing around it, and then it would be packed. Because every time we have a preseason game, tickets go out immediately. I just bought tickets for the Raptors and the Blazers game, September 29th, coming to Vancouver. I'm lucky that I got those tickets. It was very hard. I mean, Ticketmaster didn't help, mm-hmm. but they sold out, and they will be sold out.
But do you think...
if the big three comes, it will be sold out.
But do you think the reason why... the preseason games, NBA preseason games, sell out, and the Canada versus China games are not sold out, it's because of the power of the NBA, or do you think it's because there's not enough marketing and promotion behind the Canada games?
A little bit of both. I mean, it's not like you need to set up a special campaign to talk about the Raptors coming to Vancouver to play the Blazers.
So you're saying the Canadians like the NBA better than they like their country?
No, I didn't say that. No, don't put words in my mouth. No. What I'm saying is that it's easier to sell an NBA event rather than a FIBA friendly game.
Okay.
Some people might not even know what FIBA stands for.
Yeah, that's true.
So if you say Canada versus China for a game that doesn't mean anything, I'll still go. I'll support Canada. I'm a permanent resident of this beautiful country. If it was Mexico against Canada, I would 100% go.
And support this beautiful country?
Oh, ask me that later. Okay. I don't know. I don't even want to go there. But, you know, it's for basketball fanatics. You know, I think the same thing would happen with hockey. Well, no, if Team Canada was playing, it would get sold out. But if it's a meaningless game, then, you know, there's only so much you can do.
But shame on you, Vancouver. When you had an NBA team, you did a poor job of going to the games. And now that you don't have it, you buy all the tickets for the preseason games.
You know what?
Shame on you.
I actually wrote a paper, an academic paper, on whether people wanted an NBA team back in Vancouver. I did a survey. My sample was pretty small. I would love to have the time to go back and actually do a major survey and send it to Adam Silver, who I'm 100% sure is already a fan of Dropping Dimes, and tell him the results. And actually tell the people of Vancouver, because despite my small sample, the results said that basically people wanted an NBA team. Wanted back. Hold on. But they're not willing to pay for season tickets. They want an NBA team, but they said, unless the tickets are cheap, then I'll go. Otherwise, I'm no. And that's not how it works.
Yeah.
You need people that are willing to buy your season tickets in order to have those secured seats, to buy your merchandise. And I think that it would be very exciting to have an NBA team back in Vancouver. But quite frankly, Seattle would be a better destination. There's rumors that we might have a G League team out in Langley. I mean, that's kind of disappointing, but that's what we have.
Can you explain to our listeners, because, you know, we might get some folks out there listening to our podcast that are not NBA fans or basketball fans.
Yeah.
They're just supporting us.
Yeah.
So can you explain who is who Adam Silver is?
Adam Silver is the NBA's commissioner.
Okay, good.
He's the big boss.
Yes. And he's, back to what you were saying about Vancouver and Seattle. I agree. Seattle would be a better fit. And to be honest, one issue that we have here in Vancouver is that life, it's very expensive. So it's not like people have a lot of, you know, spare money just waiting to spend on whatever thing that they like the most when it comes to hobbies. They have other priorities and it's becoming more and more expensive.
And also, I mean, if you don't have a winning team, who's going to go, really? I mean, you must have a deeply rooted team in the tradition side for people to still go. Like the Maple Leafs in Toronto. Those guys have been there forever. And there's, you know, fans that have been fans for generations. And grandparents took parents who took their children, who take their grandchildren to the games. And it's a family thing.
And in salary cap sports, you're not going to be good. You're not always going to be good. Like, it's most certainly it's going to be like a cycle, you know? Like, sometimes you're going to be good, sometimes you're going to suck, and then you're going to get a very good
draft. The problem is when you suck for a long time.
Yes.
Especially as a new franchise. I mean, you saw, drawing a reference from hockey, but the Vegas Golden Knights, they got to the final in the first year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an entrance.
Yeah.
That's how you get fans.
Yeah.
And the Grizzlies never made the playoffs.
But that doesn't happen every year. You know,
I know,
it's
very
hard for an expansion team to
100%. But you know, the Raptors were smart enough to make draft the right players. Vancouver had Brian Reeves. I'm getting very off topic here, but there's a documentary about Brian Reeves, Where Is Big Country, coming up. I do hope to get the director's contact and get her to share more of this, what seems to be a very cool project with us.
We're planning to invite a lot of people to come to our podcast, but before we can do that, we need a proper set, or we need at least to...
We just need a phone, that's all. And we have that.
A phone. I don't know how I would feel about inviting these people to come to our house.
Oh God, no, this
Maybe
place is
Skype,
horrible.
Skype would be
better. Yeah, no, Skype, we're Skyping them. Yeah. Maybe we'll rent an office one day. But for the time being, we'll Skype everyone.
WeWork. Have you heard about WeWork?
Yeah. That's in the horizon. All right. Last topic of the day. Are you ready?
I'm always ready. I was born ready.
Born ready like Lance Stephenson. Yes. The Clippers. The LA Clippers. They sent an email out to their season ticket holders from last season, inviting them for a tour of Staples Center. Have you ever been to Staples Center, Rafael?
Yes, I've watched a couple of games there.
So, hold on. The email said, come out for a tour of historic Staples Center. We're going to include a visit to the locker rooms and a tour of the secret tunnels. Now, I'm going to bring it back earlier this season, where there was a fight between the Houston Rockets and the LA Clippers, and it is said that Chris Paul, former Clipper, went into these quote-unquote secret tunnels to get to the locker room, to the Clippers locker room. Now,
Rockets?
No. So he was part
of
the Rockets.
Playing with the Rockets. Okay.
And he said, he basically sent, I think, Trevor Ariza to knock on their door as a distraction while he went to this secret tunnel in hopes to get to the locker room and beat someone up.
And he got lost.
No, I don't know. This secret tunnel thing, I don't know if it's real, honestly. I've been to Staples Center. Obviously, I didn't have access to the locker rooms. But
I mean, if it fits an NBA player, it cannot be that secretive, you know,
so,
because it's not a small tunnel.
So, two things. How do you feel about the Clippers offering a tour to their secret tunnel? And second, who the bleep builds a secret tunnel in an arena?
No, I'm sure that must be several arenas that have like secret tunnels
from locker to locker.
I don't know, maybe it was built for, you know, maintenance purpose.
I find it hilarious that the Clippers, now that, you know, Lob City is a thing of the past, they're like, yo, come check out our secret tunnels. And by the way, buy our season ticket.
Hating on the Clippers.
Of course, yeah. They should move to San Diego. San Diego is a fine city. I was there very recently. They need an NBA team. Send the Clippers.
Funny, because today when we were talking earlier, you mentioned that you wouldn't move to San Diego. And now you're saying that it's a fine city.
It is a fine city. I wouldn't live there. That's different. It's a cool city. It needs an NBA
team.
Not
cool enough for you?
No, I didn't say that. It's not for me. In the same way that Seattle is not for me. And it's a really cool city.
Okay.
Just, why are you trying to get me in trouble? No. I like San Diego. Beautiful weather. Year round. Good food. Great Mexican food. And they need an NBA team. And I want the Clippers to move the hell out of Staples Center. The Clippers are the juvie team of the Lakers. They get the scraps. You know, they're like your dog when you're having dinner and they're always begging for the leftovers.
Look, that's not what the numbers say for the past, you know, for the recent seasons.
As far as I'm concerned, they didn't make the playoffs this year, right?
And you guys did?
No.
Okay.
So we're on the same boat. However, we have this guy that I don't know if you heard about, LeBron James.
Maybe Brandon Ingram should look for new tenants.
Get the hell out! It's the Lakers arena, and that's it. Okay, Clippers, get the hell out. Pay the rent, pay your last month, give your month notice, pay that last month, and get out. Clean everything while you leave. Before you leave, we'll go in, we'll make an inspection, we'll charge you for whatever damage you did to the arena, and then get out. Go to San Diego. Go to San Jose. I don't care. Get the hell out of Staples. Thank you. Alright. Yeah. I think that's it for this episode of Dropping Dimes.
Very passionate final part there.
Thank you. Yeah.
I thought you were going to get a little bit upset when you're talking about these things, you know.
I will. I'll keep getting upset as long as Celtics and Clippers, I'll get upset when I talk about them. Thank you guys for joining us. Thank you all for all the love that we received for the first episode. Maybe we should have started by acknowledging everyone. I cannot express enough gratitude to everyone that has sent us a message, words of encouragement. And
our friends and colleagues, you mean.
Everyone.
And our girlfriends.
Our girlfriends, our friends, our colleagues, everyone that has given us a chance to be on their phone. That has visited our website, our social media. Thank you so much. We'll keep this going.
And for the other people out there, the other two people out there that, you know, maybe accidentally downloaded our podcast, please keep downloading our podcast and tell other friends that
subscribe.
It's please. A decent podcast and yep. that you're enjoying it.
Share
and
the love.
Don't be a stranger. Just follow us on Instagram, comment on the stuff that we post.
Yeah, drop
if
us a line.
If you're not liking it, just comment saying that you're not liking.
Yeah.
And, you know, give us feedback.
Let us know what you want to see. Let us know what you want us to talk about. We're going to keep being a lot more active on social media. So make sure you follow us on Twitter, dropping_dimes1. If it doesn't have an underscore and it doesn't have a one, it's not us. On Instagram, dropping.dimes. Facebook/dropping.dimes. Our website, www.dropping-dimes.com. And obviously, if you want to email us, Rod, R-O-D, or Raf, R-A-F, @dropping-dimes.com.
And if you're going to email me, CC Rodrigo, because he's probably going to
read the email. That's actually a good idea. You know what? Just email me.
Yeah. And CC me and eventually Rodrigo will tell me.
If you want Rafael to see your message, hit us up on Instagram.
Yeah.
That's a lot more realistic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chances are that Rafael will answer your Instagram message.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you guys again. We're going to keep this going because Dropping Dimes is a movement. It is. It will become a movement. I'm damn sure.
Slow movement?
It is a movement.
Okay.
Trust the process.
Okay.
Thank you guys. We'll see you next week. Have a fantastic rest of your week. Peace out.